Angela.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Happy Shushan Purim.
Yes, happy Shushan Purim.
And today you are the first to arrive.
Well, oh my goodness.
So all things happen in the world.
I'm telling you, I've had a busy day today.
I can appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell you that I'm not going to do the late class tonight.
Okay, no 9 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah, I was just a little busy all day as well and didn't get a good night's sleep because I was doing the shekel ritual till very late.
So. God bless you. I put your envelope in the mail today for that. It's not
Thank
a big
you.
Envelope. It's a small envelope. So it should be heading your way.
I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate all you do. Thank you so much. Anna.
Happy Shushan Purim.
Thank you. Happy Shushan Purim to you.
Thank you. So we will begin.
Okay.
I believe we're on Pasuk 90 and Section 6 of Parsha Vayera from the Sulam Commentary. And we'll start with Elishem Yehud. And before that, I'm letting you know that the late class I'm going to have to cancel because I didn't close up quite late with the shekel ritual. So I didn't get it all done. I mean, I did get all of that done, but I didn't get any sleep, so.
Okay. Well, so I've had half a day gone with company.
I understand. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabri Hu Ishkin Tebit Kilu Urchimu Ud Kilu Ud Kilu Urchimu Leachta L'shem Yud He Bovathe Be Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konenehu Ava Ozara de Yitzhak Ulaka de Yaakov Lav Hakek Diktiv Vayiten Avraham Et Kol Asher Lo Liyitzhak Dach Ulaka Kadisha Timhem Nuta de Yitzhabak Beya Avraham Unfak Mehahu Adva Umehahu Sitra Yaakov Makitiv Beyav Ine Hashem Nitzav Alav Uktiv Yatav Yaakov Avdi Vigomer Magine Kach Baelea Levar Nash Leit the Mashka Latar Kucha Barifu Ulita Kutbeka Beata Deer Dik Tivuvo Tidbak. Happy Shushan Purim, Malka. We are in Section 6 of Parsha Vayera, Pasuk 90. And the late class tonight has been canceled.
Okay.
So now I'm going to read the translation. But the seed of Isaac, the portion of Jacob, is not so, as it is written. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. This is the holy portion of faith that Abraham cleaved to. And from this side in faith did Jacob come. What is written about him? It is written, and behold, Hashem stood above him. And but you, Israel, are my servant Jacob. For this reason, a person should be drawn after the Holy One, blessed be he, and cleave to him always. As it is written, and to him shall you cleave. My commentary. Learn the word always as it applies to cleaving to Hashem. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I keep thinking of the phrase, I've placed Hashem before me always. You know, as having basically the same meaning.
What does the word always mean in that verse from Psalms?
Well, I think as you go through your daily life, even your secular things become holy. Or what you think of as secular, you know.
Mm-hmm. But is that putting Hashem before you when you say it's a thing? It's a secular thing. Are you putting Hashem before you when you change your secular thing to a holy thing?
Well, I think it's just something you do normally, just every morning. I mean, the first thing you say, "Hey, I need you," you're starting your day off. And
by putting Hashem in front of you. But unless you're saying 100 blessings a day, which most people don't do today, how are you putting Hashem in front of you? Always.
To me, with your consciousness.
Well, but that's really the issue. I'm going to use this as an example. Can you be baking a challah and be thinking about Hashem the whole time that the challah is in the oven while you're watching it? While you're watching it rise, do you think about Hashem?
Good. Let me put it this way. He's watching me do these things.
Yes, and he receives pleasure watching you do these things. But if you do these things and you're not thinking about him, is it the same? And what does it mean to cleave to Hashem?
Okay, well, let me give you this example. Let's say you have your hands all oiled while you're in the process of doing that, and then the phone rings and you get agitated because the phone rang, and you know if you pick up that phone, it's going to get all full of oil. You know, so no, I have to say that my thoughts left Hashem. But I'm getting better at not letting agitation get me and say, oh, well, there's paper towels to wipe with and get the oil off the phone. Or not answer it. Choose to let it, the machine get it and then call that person back. So it's not possible, I think, always every minute, especially if we've got a family and, you know, you have to communicate with people. And as much as I have to say my friends are very much into either Judaism or Kabbalah, our conversations usually always tend to be around that. But anyway, I don't know what you're trying to, you know, get to the point. I guess you're going to have to help me.
When the phone rings and you get initially, in the past, you would get upset and aggravated that they're disturbing you in this. But when you keep Hashem in front of you always, you realize that the interruption that they are representing is coming as a message to you from Hashem as a test.
Right. And I learned that since Kislev, when we worked on agitation, aggravation, and anger, you know, to
right.
stop your reaction, which was binding by striking. And it, believe me, it's getting better. For me, I was singing the little song.
I accept it getting better, but that's really the point of the Zohar is telling us the only way you can cleave to Hashem is by keeping him in front of you always, by always being connected to Hashem. And anytime you allow your consciousness to stray from Hashem, you stop cleaving to him.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, you exercise your physical body, well, you exercise the spiritual concepts as well, and you keep
correct.
Getting better and better at it.
That is correct. You keep getting it stronger. You remember the Midrash story that said that King David was only able, the Satan was only able to take King David's soul because he tripped him on the steps. And as he was falling, his thoughts left Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only way that Satan was able to take King David, because his consciousness, after 70 years of development and consciousness, thinking about Hashem, his thoughts were always there. So all the irritations of mundane things, he always perceived them as coming from Hashem, and because of that perception, he was cleaved to Hashem. That's what I'm trying to stress.
Okay.
If you don't realize that, you don't achieve that.
So I have a question.
And I have an answer.
I know. You were talking about King David coming down the steps and he tripped. Every day I go up and down steps, and those are difficult for me. And I'm always thinking about Hashem, either praising his name or thanking him. So is that getting a connection?
That's how you cleave to Hashem. Most people, when they have difficulty climbing steps, they're looking down at the steps, aren't they? And
yes.
As you walk, as you take each step, your focus is on the step, as opposed to thanking Hashem for the opportunity to climb those steps and calling on Hashem to help you climb those steps. Can you multitask? Can you walk and think of Hashem at the same time?
Yes.
That's what it means to cleave to Hashem.
I can even ride a bike and chew gum.
But that's not thinking of Hashem unless you're thanking him for the gum and the bike.
Right, but that's multitasking.
That is correct. But how many people in this world multitask? A lot of people think they multitask, but the actual effort of multitasking ultimately is to be thinking of Hashem as you do a mundane task. Pasuk 91. Tachate mi ya'aleh behar Hashem v'gomer uvatar ahavdar yufei rash neki kapayim tilavet bidoy tufsa v'la itaka toho bameh delayit terich with two delays of the whole life, the whole gufa chinun, bim saavin garmaihu, the adin listava, with ahu niki kapain, uvar live out the gavna. Kegavna dal tila amshich riuteya pulibeya lisitra achara elale itmashka batar puchana dekucha barichu. The translation. Come and see. It is written, who shall ascend into the mountain of Hashem? And after this, he continues to explain that he that has clean hands, this means that he has not made an idol with his hands, and his hands did not hold what they should not have held. Furthermore, it should be explained that the phrase clean hands means his hands were not defiled, and he did not defile the body with them, as those who defile themselves with their hands and become impure. This is what clean hands means. A pure heart is the heart of someone who has not diverted his heart to the other side, but rather is drawn after the service of the Holy One, blessed be he. My commentary. Learn these code words as you will come across them frequently in the study of the Torah. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, another psalm comes to mind, created me a clean heart, right spirit. I don't know, somewhere around Psalm 15 or so.
Right. But these code words are very important to understand their meaning. And that's why the Zohar is teaching that to us. Does anybody have any other comments? Then let's finish this section with Pasuk 92. Asher lo nasa la shav nafshi nafsho kitiv nafshi kari vehauk muha nafshi da nefesh David sitra dim hem nuta Nafsho da nefesh bevarnash mamash Begin dekad ipok mehai alma Benafsheya setam lak Beovadain dekashrin Alma deit kayam Behole mehach Bain call inun kadishin. Keda italik lifne Hashem biar tzot hachayin. Ugindilanasa. La Shabnafshi. Isa Baraka. Me et Adonai. Uegomer. The translation of the verse, who has not lifted up his soul being nefesh in vain, who has not lifted up his soul in vain. Observe that it is written nafsho, his soul, but pronounced nafshi, my soul. The explanation is that my soul is the soul of David, the aspect of faith which is the nukva of Zeranpin. His soul is actually the soul of a human being. This is the difference between what is written and how it is pronounced. Thus, when a person passes away from this world, and his soul, his nefesh, leaves with proper deeds, he will have the privilege of being among all those holy ones, as it is written, I will walk before Hashem in the land of the living. Therefore, he says, because he has not lifted up his soul in vain, he shall receive the blessing from Hashem. My commentary. To me, this pasuk is clear as written. If it is not clear to you, reread this section, and then write me a question if it is still unclear. Questions, comments, thoughts. No, nobody wants to comment?
Well, nothing's coming to me, but I'm still on 91 because I wondered about the mountain of Hashem and I didn't ask you about it. But and I also, the telephone rang and I wasn't sure somebody picked it up because it was his boss. So I had distractions. But perhaps Martha or Brandy have something to add.
Well, if you want to talk about 91, that's fine.
Well, I guess because of studying Exodus 14 and knowing that when the children of Israel crossed the Yamsuf and they were facing the mountain, and that mountain was named after their Egyptian deity, just seeing the comparison of a mountain of Hashem, I guess I was having a hard time believing that phrase, mountain of Hashem. So what exactly can you add to the meaning of mountain of Hashem? As an elevated high spiritual level? Is that what they're
what they're saying.
Okay.
And the important thing to realize about that verse from the Zohar is it doesn't say on the mountain of Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say the mountain of Hashem. It says in the mountain of Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it mean to be in the mountain of Hashem?
Well, I keep thinking since the neshama or the portion of our soul that's pure that came from Hashem, that is a spark of Hashem in us, you know, we have to constantly remind ourselves that He's within us. And so into the mountain is into the actual presence of Hashem. You know, to me, it's difficult to picture Hashem sitting on a throne because you have a throne with nothing that looks like air. You know. if you want to walk with Hashem and you want him to hold your hand, you know, your hand is out, but your hand is in air. Well, it's the same thing if you feel like you need to call upon the lap of Hashem because of something that's happening in your life. You're climbing up on a seat that's nothing but air. There's no physical. So it's the same thing going into the mountain, into that elevated consciousness, possibly in your meditation, which has to do with cleaving to Hashem. Very difficult for me to put into words.
I understand. What's important is for you to realize that as you started to speak, and I don't remember the exact words, but you said something to the effect that to be with Hashem or to walk with Hashem, that consciousness separates you from Hashem. But when you go into the mountain of Hashem, there's no separation because you're unified with Hashem.
Well, I didn't
it's a level
like that.
Of consciousness. I know, I appreciate that. I'm not criticizing you for saying it.
Yeah.
I'm pointing it out to you because if you don't understand the terminology, you don't understand what does Hashem want from us? There's verses in the Torah that tells us what he wants from you, which is to walk with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here and in this verse of in the mountain of Hashem, he's saying, don't walk with me, because that means there's two of us. Come into the mountain and be with me. There's only one. You let go of your ego and you become an aspect of Hashem.
Okay, well, I guess because it's difficult for me to walk, and, you know, oftentimes I'll hold on to Tony or Tony will give me his hand. Well, when he's not around or when I'm in the house, I just know that the walking is getting harder. So I just sense that Hashem has my hand, and so the next few steps I'm going to be able to keep going. I'm not going to fall, or so I can understand the difference of being into and the separation. So I'm glad I asked the question about into. It kind of relates to the lesson on the half shekel too, that when we had the Lamed before at Ramatan, there was a difference between Hashem and of Hashem and Hashem. So now even the little bitty words are becoming extra meaningful.
Correct. And that's part of the spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. I'll have to get a different picture.
Well, it's not that you're holding hands and Hashem is holding your hands. It's that Hashem is doing the action. You're in his hands.
Okay.
We're out of time, but...
Okay, thank you.
You all have a beautiful evening, and I am sorry I have to cancel the evening class, because I wanted to speak about the Arid, but we'll do it another time.
Okay.
Okay, get some rest. Thank you.
Shalom to all. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.